with us at Eastminster. Amen. Amen, amen. I want to say my mom's here today, Pastor Eileen. I have several friends. They've been rocking with me a long time, so good morning to you all. I'm glad to see you. Love you guys. And I'm glad to see all of you. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us read together. You can find this passage on page 118 in your pew Bibles. It'll also be on the screens. Let's read together from the book of Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen, amen. So I will keep saying he is risen. I'm one of those really, really excited, exuberant worshipers, as you probably know. And and the joy of the resurrection stays with us week after week, and it's just refreshing to be reminded again. We had a wonderful Holy Week and Easter here at Eastminster. I've been bragging on us to all of my musical friends, and they were talking about what they did for their services, but we started with Palm Sunday with French toast and eggs, and nobody else said they did that, so I'm so far winning in that competition. It's just glorious, from Palm Sunday to Stations of the Cross. Was so beautiful. Some new artists emerged this year, and we had a bit of a facelift. And then on Wednesday night, the Stations of the Cross featured the live music, and I just love the artists and how they, the musicians, how they offered their gift to the Lord, from the youngest, Izzy, to the oldest. I won't say who the oldest was, but the oldest. It was intergenerational. It was cross-cultural. I told Pastor Aaron, it's one of my most beautiful times because Eastminster knows how to do it well. We also walked through the journey of the cross Monday, Thursday. Was so beautifully done, Pastor Cheryl, and the music from the chancel choir woven with the scriptures and the liturgical readings was really, really powerful. And we got to Good Friday, one of my favorite times. Pastor Aaron gave us meditations, sermonettes, in between the music. It was powerful. It made us remember the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And then some of you gathered Saturday evening for a prayer service to ready your hearts and minds to be thankful for that sacrifice as Jesus descended into hell and snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave so that we could have eternal life. And then early Sunday morning, I wasn't there, but some of y'all were there at Highland Park at sunrise on the first day of the week, early to begin the resurrection celebration. And then at 10:30, we were here. Another glorious processional. We had the children's choir and the youth praise band and some adults and the Easter proclamation. I love that. It just makes us stand to attention and celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we process down the aisle. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah chorus. Don't Cry by Kirk Franklin. The preached word challenging us to live as Christ had us to live. All of this to say, he's risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Amen. And I'm so thankful for this beautiful, beautiful celebration that we were able to enter into here at Eastminster and across the world. That's a global celebration. It's a no matter what country, no matter what city and town, you find believers celebrating that. So then, after all that, now what? Now what? And before you guys call me the Debbie Downer and want me to sit down before I start, there's a reason why I'm saying now what. There's a reason. Typically, the Sunday after Easter is very, very sparsely attended. But look at everyone around who showed up today. Praise the Lord. You want to make that theory debunked. That's great. That's great. It's called the post-Easter slump. The post-Easter slump. And if you think about it, because we had such wonderful fellowship in addition to all of the worship that I described. But the fellowship was so sweet. So when we had passing of the peace, there were folks that, you know, they typically don't come other Sundays, let us be Easter or Mother's Day or Christmas Eve. And so we were able to give out hugs, and the fellowship went on and on. I remember Pastor Aaron grabbing a mic, and he's like, praise the Lord, let's come back to our seats. And I jokingly said, good luck, Pastor, because we were festive. Amen. It was a beautiful, beautiful time in the Lord. And so this post-Easter slump is a phenomenon where you have this high, you have folks coming, you have some visitors. Maybe we have some visitors back today. That would be wonderful. You have some visitors, and we fill the house, and then typically that attendance takes a little dip. And it takes a while for that attendance to build back up. And I read some blogs that pastors were encouraging newer pastors in the faith that might be like, hey, you know what happened? Because we had all this wonderful celebration, and then the numbers go down. So what I'm saying is, what I'm asking is not just about numbers, but we had this apex of Christendom, if you will, the climax of the Christian faith. I heard a radio announcer refer to it as our Super Bowl. Another pastor said it's our World Series. Whichever way you look at it, Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. He got up. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He got up with all power in his hands. He got up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. He got up. Now what? Okay? So to answer this question, let's go to this text today in Acts chapter 1. Luke begins the book of Acts with a prologue summarizing all that Jesus began to do and teach. And so this is referring to, he said in the first book, referring to the Gospel of Luke. So really it's Luke Acts, and Luke is the writer of Acts. And he says, I started telling you all about what Jesus began to do and teach from the beginning. Theologian F.F. Bruce informs us that as the gospel records what Jesus began to do and teach, the book of Acts records what he continued to do and teach by his Spirit and the apostles after he was taken up. I want to just extrapolate those three words, by his Spirit. Somebody say, by his Spirit. And in case you didn't know, I'm one of those preachers that it's fine to go ahead and talk back to me this whole time. You're welcome. So by his Spirit, Jesus said in John 14:10, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And so even Jesus being one with the Father was speaking of not just his words. And he and the Father were one. But he realized that these words Father was speaking through him. And so similarly, we don't speak our own words. We don't preach our own words. We don't testify our own words. It's the Holy Spirit, by his Spirit, that does this in us. We continue to do the works, or even greater works. Same chapter, go down to verse 12. Jesus further said, verily, verily, I tell you that the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. So what was he speaking of? Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus was teaching. Remember, he was a rabbi. Jesus was healing the sick. Jesus was feeding the multitudes. Jesus was raising the dead himself. So he said, you're going to do these works by his spirit. Amen? And not only that, he said, in fact, you will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. And so Jesus, knowing that he would ascend to the Father, would leave that physical earthly void, had not the Comforter come, as Jesus promised, and empowered the apostles first, and then all of us to carry on greater works. And so how can there be a greater work than Jesus healing? How can there be a greater work than Jesus saving? How can there be a greater work than Jesus raising the dead? It's not greater like that. We cannot exceed. There's no higher superlative to describe our works as opposed to Jesus' works. It doesn't compare. But greater works carried out in the apostles in the book of Acts speaks of limitless reach to those works, right? So they're not restricted by Jesus's physical limitations when he was here on this earth. Those works are not confined to Jewish territory. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to enact and make come to life the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, that we go out to all the world and we make disciples of all. Limitless reach. Someone say limitless reach. You see that in our scriptures today when Jesus said, you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses, and you see this limitless reach. First, it starts at home, Jerusalem, right? And then he says Judea, and then neighboring Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. That means, like, that's limitless. I can't even start to tell you all the countries and territories and provinces and states and cities that you will reach with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's limitless. Amen. When the Spirit dwells in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So now what? What does it mean for Jesus to be resurrected? Those of us that believe. What does it mean for us? We celebrate it. I'm going to keep celebrating. I'm going to keep saying he is risen. Jesus is alive. Let's look at the third verse in our Acts, in our text in Acts. After his suffering, he presented himself alive. Somebody said alive. To them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So the gift of having Jesus alive and among them, I can't even fathom that, because he walked with them. He talked with them. He spoke about the kingdom of God. He had lunch with them. I would have loved to have lunch with the risen Lord. He walked alongside with them, and he was asking them, like, why are your faces sad? And they're like, wait, this is Jesus walking and talking with me. So he spent 40 days walking and talking with them. He is alive. Let there be no doubt that Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, is and was alive. There's a song that our youth praise band has sung for the past few years in Easter's, and they didn't choose to do it this year, but it's called Risen by Israel Houghton. And this line gets me every time. It says, the same power that crushed the enemy, the same power lives in me. All right? So we're going to declare that today. Repeat it after me. The same power that crushed the enemy, the same power lives in me. Pull that up, listen to it, walk in it, listen, because it's so true that the same power, the Holy Spirit resurrection power, lives in us. We have power, we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. He's alive. Hallelujah. The resurrection for the believer also means victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 56 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where, death, is your sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to thank God for victory right there. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's because he rose, because he lives. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. I'm so glad that our Savior's resurrection for me means life. I'm so thankful that our Savior's resurrection for me, it means victory. That means whatever circumstances and things that are coming our way, arrows, darts, attacks, even trying to pull us from the faith, go back to this. And remember, the same power that crushed the enemy, the same power lives in me. Jesus is alive. He's alive in me. Amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Aaron said last Sunday, if we are in him and he is in us, then we have life. We have life. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for life. Remember that. When things get to seem too hard, and you feel like maybe you can't make it till tomorrow, because of Jesus being in us and we in him, you have life. Turn to somebody, this is what I do too. Turn to somebody and say, you have life. Somebody needs to hear this today. We're going to preach to each other. Find someone else and say, you have life. Hallelujah. Jesus is in me. I am him. We have life. Yes, amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus also to the believer means our resurrection. It means it, our resurrection. Philippians 3 verses 10 through 12 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. There's that word power again. And the sharing of his suffering. Sometimes we don't like that part. We want to skip through Holy Week. We want to skip past Good Friday. It's a little painful. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It was with his stripes that we are healed. And so we have to suffer with him. He did the work for us. But he calls us to live for him, be a living sacrifice. Hallelujah for him. I want to know Christ, Apostle Paul said, and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, because he lives. I can face tomorrow. I can live also. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit. Somebody say, through his spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. And I love this one. John 11:24-26. Remember when Jesus shows up to Lazarus's tomb, and Martha's a little salty with Jesus. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. Martha said to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, she had an assurance, right? She had an assurance that the death was not the final thing, that there is a resurrection that is promised to you, promised to me, promised to Lazarus. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. We're just not talking about something hypothetical, something, an analogy. We're talking about the real deal. Jesus said, you're looking at him. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. We have life everlasting through the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that death is not the final. It's not the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He will raise us up. Thank you, Lord. The resurrection means to the believer that it's the promise of the Spirit being fulfilled. And this is what Pastor Aaron was telling us about, that post-Easter, we start to look ahead and we remember the journey to Pentecost, and we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the promise being fulfilled, let's just walk through some of these scriptures. John 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another word is comforter, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. Isn't that what Apostle Paul said? That I may what? Know him. Because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Thank you, Lord. John the Baptist said in Luke 3, 16 and 17, he said, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then our text today, Jesus instructs the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father in Jerusalem. He said that same thing that John said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We thank the Lord for his power. He promised power to be a witness. That word power means dunamis. So to the believer, the resurrection means the promise of the Spirit being fulfilled. It means the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural power through whom, through which mighty works are done and preaching is effective. We do none of this in our own power, but we do everything through the power of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, and he was speaking of being able to be content with whatever was provided to him. But I like this word because that doing all things through Christ who strengthens me, that word means empowers me to prosper, right? And so we're empowered through the Holy Spirit. We're empowered, we're endued, we're filled to the overflow with his power, with his fruit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, this word is prominent throughout the book of Acts, right? The Acts of the Apostles. What did they do in the power of the Holy Spirit? To be a witness, that Greek word actually means to testify. So what did they do? And this would be a long sermon to walk through all that the Acts of the Apostles did. This encourages us to go and read. Amen? Miracle after miracle. Think about it. Casting out demons, healing, preaching, being imprisoned, facing death, being killed, being a martyr, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. They were enabled to turn the world upside down, break out of jail. That's one of my favorites. Woo, you can put me in jail, okay. Sing, pray, break us out of here. By the power of the whole, and then the jailer gets saved. Hallelujah, his whole house. Hallelujah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have limitless reach. We'll do greater works. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that tells us what to say. He's the one that leads us where to go. He's the one that helps us to testify and say what Jesus did. He's the one that helps us not to be afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because without the gospel, it's the power of life unto salvation. The book of Romans says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Hallelujah. You have to have that word and that power. It brings life. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Can we give God a praise for the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we talked about what it means to the believer for Jesus to be alive, the resurrection. What does it mean to the world? What does it mean to the world? Some, it means nothing. It was another day. Right? But as believers, we understand the joy of hope, of victory, of life, power of our Savior's resurrection. It can't stop there. So that's why I'm posing this question today. Now what? Our world is in trouble. I don't need to convince you today in this sermon that our world is in trouble. Look around us. They may not understand the resurrection significance, but we do. People need to know that there's a Jesus who's not just a historical figure, not just a good teacher. Some will even say, well, maybe he was a prophet. No, the Son of God, the King of Kings. Hallelujah. The way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. The Alpha and Omega, the great I am, the first and the last, the door, the shepherd, the good shepherd. Hallelujah. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the Son begotten of the Father. That Jesus is alive. We cannot be dead. Saints of God, we have to be on fire. We have to be alive. We have to tell a dying world that there is a Savior who lives. Maybe we don't even say it. We have to live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He's alive. Thank you, Lord. In wars and violence and political divisions, people need hope. People need help. And here we are with all this power. He's risen indeed. We keep it to ourselves. Oh, you go to church? Wait, what? Should be, even if we don't say, I go to church, you don't say, I read the Bible, something about our life should witness to Jesus Christ. Something about our life should witness the resurrection. Something about our life should tell the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Our world needs help and hope. We need a risen Savior. And we have that hope because our risen Savior is alive in you and me. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And then he says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." On Good Friday, Reverend Cornell and Dr. Toya and their organization, Operation Amani, led a community prayer for peace, and we marched through Homewood. We prayed through Homewood and had the pleasure of leading songs of praise and freedom. One of those songs was, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Reverend Cornell took the bullhorn and was singing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Some of those verses said, "All in my home, I'm gonna let it shine." Y'all can talk to me. Jesus gave it to me. I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, all in my neighborhood. So you can insert in my school, students, you can insert on my job, in my family, wherever you are, I'm going to what? So then you're like, okay, Reverend Nikki, I'm not a minister, I'm not an evangelist. You're talking about going out and preaching the world and turning the world upside down. And wow, how do I do that? It's a good question. Maybe you are shy. Maybe you're not used to talking about your faith. It is daunting. But when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not us. It's not you. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. There are opportunities that are all around you. Just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you and show you where can you be a light. Where can you let it shine? Sometimes those opportunities will come to you. It's been a long time since I worked outside of Christendom, even a parachurch ministry before I came to Eastminster. But I remember working in a place where it was definitely not Christians who were there. It was a challenging environment. But I had one lady that would kind of look at me and be like, "Let's meet me in the ladies' room." And she knew, and she'd get in, and she'd be whispering, "All right, now I just need you to pray for me." And she would start to tell me about what to pray for her family. And in the ladies' room of this, I'm not going to say the name, of this godforsaken place, we had revival and we prayed. And so wherever your place is, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Ask him to give you the words. Maybe it's an opportunity for prayer. Maybe a kind word turns into, sometimes you see tears fall and people start to tell you what's going on in their lives. What do we do? Yes, we have human compassion and we say, I'm so sorry for your loss, or I'm so sorry you're going through that. But take it one step further. Can I pray for you? Would you mind? I'm a believer. I got the risen Lord in me. Can I pray for you? And you never know the seed that has already been planted or the seed that you plant. And you may not take him right there and lead him to Christ, but you're planting a seed. Amen? Pray and ask the Lord to show you. Geographically, we talked about becoming limitless in our greater works. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. What does that look like in your sphere? Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, that's your Jerusalem. And then a little bit outside of that, in a bigger territory, that's your Judea. And then maybe the neighboring counties are your Samaria. And then there's maybe some tension there, because that wasn't, you know, when Jesus went through, he was really bold because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. What is uttermost parts of the earth? Our missions team is taking it. I had the joy of going to Egypt and seeing how they do ministry at our sister church. It was a beautiful experience. The Lord has blessed and opened a door for me to go to Italy through gospel music, be able to shine a light there. That's mine. What is yours? What is yours? Hallelujah. What is yours, fear? And then for Eastminster, here's our neighborhood, right? East Liberty, East End, I don't know what we're calling it these days. And we have, there's Highland Park, and there's Shadyside, and then there's Homewood, and there's Garfield, and there's Point Breeze. Where else? Morningside, Northside, Bloomfield, Lawrenceville, right in our reach, Penn Hills. Yeah, Westview. Amen. Wherever we are to go, it's right there. That's our Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And for Eastminster, it's even easier because of our local and foreign missions partners. This is not a plug. They didn't tell me to get up here, missions committee, and say this. But it's simple, right? We already support them. We already financially support them and have for years. So why not find out how you can get involved in our missions partners? Can I just have missions committee? I know y'all weren't prepared for this. Could you just stand up real fast? Where are you? Missions folks? Yeah. Yeah. We had one, our elder of missions, speak today. Thank you very much. See one of them. How can I get involved? One of them is like, walk out these doors right over there. EECM, that we as a church, I don't know how many know this, but we helped to start that. And our pastor sits on the board. Oh, that's a healthcare center, right? That too. All of these right at our fingertips. Ask how you can get involved. Be bold about it. Hallelujah. Be bold in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be bold and don't be afraid. I'm going to conclude with this. The woman of Samaria, I mentioned that. I love her. She had a past. She had some things going on. She had five husbands, and the one she was with wasn't hers. Jesus knew her business. And so when they met at the well, Jesus intentionally going through Samaria. And that was, why did he need to do that? Because there was somebody there that he knew he would encounter. And he began to engage with her. He engaged with her. And you never know where a conversation is going. And as he engaged with her, he's omniscient, right? And so he knows, and he begins to tell her about her life. She tries to argue religiously, well, we need to worship on this mountain. And you all say you're going to worship on this mountain. He's like, the time will come. It doesn't matter which mountain. God's looking for some true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
And as he begins to tell her about her life, and he said, go call your husband, it was like, uh-oh. She knew that he was somebody special. Hallelujah. And when she realized that he was a Christ, she left her, she came there to get water, left her water pot, took off back to her same circles. Listen, God will use whomever he wants to turn it out. God will use whoever he wants, whatever past they have, you have, I have. God will use through the power of the Holy Spirit, being transformed in the presence of Jesus Christ. God will use that person to turn the world upside down. And she went back and she said, hey, come see a man who's told me all I ever did. The Bible doesn't record the numbers, but I can just imagine her evangelistic anointing through the power of the Holy Spirit. She was bold, and Jesus was still there. She knew that she had been in the presence of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and she told everybody about the Christ that she encountered. Tell everybody about the Christ that you have encountered. You don't have to be a preacher. Be a witness. Testify. What have you seen the Lord do? Hallelujah. I know he got up because his word said so. I know he got up. I know he lives because he lives in me. Even if you don't know what scriptures to quote, let me tell you how he healed me. Let me tell you how he saved me. Let me tell you how he set me free from addiction. Let me tell you how he brought me out of a dark place. Let me tell you how he turned my life around when I thought life was not worth living. How he gave me life and reminded me that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And reminded me that he is the resurrection and the life. You don't have to preach it, say it, testify it, live it, be it. Let your light shine so that our Father will be glorified. Hallelujah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of
this,
mine,
this little light,
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 light
of mine,
this,
gonna
this,
let
this,
it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere. All in my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it, come on, say, all in my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine, hey, all in my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave it to me.